Stephen A. Leahy. It's been a while since we chatted, my friend. How are you doing?
It's been too long, John.
It has been too long. You're out in, actually, in Colorado as we're talking right now, because you've got a wedding today you're going to, huh?
I do. My niece, Jennifer, is getting married. Congratulations to Jennifer and Patrick today, so it's a big day.
Are you, is it the service has just started and you're in the back of the church talking on the phone?
Not yet. 3 o'clock is the service.
Okay, good, 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 good. I wouldn't want you to do that. I mean, I appreciate you going above and beyond, but at least walk out into the parking lot, Stephen.
All right. It's not important. I would never get. This is as important, not more important, but
right.
As important.
As important. Okay. I think the IRS did two notable things in the last couple weeks that I think a lot of people are happy about. One, they say they're going to make it a lot easier for you to file your taxes electronically. And two, they say they're going to stop knocking on doors of people, most people, who are delinquent on their taxes. I know you're not the biggest fan of the IRS, Stephen, but these are two good moves, right? In your mind?
Well, they're good. They're good moves in the sense that it's better that you get your money faster than slower. My concern is the IRS doing your tax returns for you. I'm not a big advocate of that. I think it's, frankly, I think it's a conflict of interest on their behalf.
What do you mean? By they're doing it for you? Is that, are you saying that, like, if they have a computer software similar to like a TurboTax or something, mm-hmm. they're the ones making the calculations on their back end, and so you think that something could be maybe not intentionally squirrely, but something could be messed up, and you have to trust their numbers?
Exactly, because you're going to plug in their numbers anyway, right? Because my own opinion is that's what I think is where the IRS wants to go. Like they want to be able to, these are called information returns, like 1099s and all these other returns that we get now that are tracking all the money that comes in. Now, next year, we're going to get the 1099Ks, as you might remember from Venmo and all of that. They did put a year pause on that. So next year, that's coming. And so and last year, there was over a billion information returns filed. And so next year, expect a lot more than that. And this is going to, but really what's happening is the IRS wants to gather all our information and then analyze it and process it for us. That's where I think we're going. That's where they want us to go.
Some people might be open for that, though, because are there going to be less audits if they do it that way? Or do you think, because, I mean, there's always there's this running joke and meme, Stephen. It's like the IRS is the only place where they're like, all right, tell us, you have to guess how much you owe in taxes, and then you do it, and then they go, well, you're wrong, you're in trouble. And it's like, why don't you just tell us in the first place?
Well, if they all tell us, do you think the number would be higher or lower?
I think it would be higher.
Yes. So, I mean, if we all overpay on our taxes, well, then we won't get audited, would we?
True. You're right.
Like, you know, there's a double-edged sword there. You know, if we want the freedom from government, we just have to pay a lot more. That doesn't make any sense to me.
So would you still recommend, if people can afford it and they're able to do it, spend a little bit for either a tax professional, or if you don't have too complicated of taxes, use one of those online services, because they're looking out for you, number one?
Well, they have the free file, right? There are free if you make less than, I forget what the number was last year, I believe it was 67,000, I believe the number was.
Mm-hmm.
If you made less than that, there's these services that are already free. So to me, the IRS offering these free services is just a redundancy. It's already there. And less than 5% of all eligible people take advantage of it. So I don't know why we're moving that way unless, of course, it's to the IRS's benefit. It's certainly not, in my mind, to the taxpayer's benefit.
Wait, isn't it, though? Isn't it supposed to be for people maybe that aren't under 67,000 but are still very middle-of-the-road incomes, middle-class Americans, who instead of paying a TurboTax $179 to do it, you're just able to do it on the government's website instead? Isn't that an advantage? Yeah, doesn't that save you a couple $100 and you can just do it through them?
That remains to be seen, isn't it, about what the parameters are and who's going to get it for free and who's not going to get it for free.
True.
We all know that there's lots of government programs offered to some people for free, but others pay. Right, so I don't know who's going to be able to file for free and not. And again, if I'm saving $200, but it's costing me $500 in additional taxes, am I better off? Obviously, no.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You're right. And I've been looking at a bunch of stories, and they are a little light on the details, Stephen, and I think you just hit it. I don't think we know exactly yet what the details are going to be, and I guess we just wait for the government to tell us, which is usually the way that goes.
I know they have a time frame already out, 2024.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's soon.
They want to bring it out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, that other story then, the transformational effort, the IRS announcing like a week and a half ago, a major policy change that will end most unannounced visits to taxpayers by agency revenue officers. First of all, have they been doing a ton of visits, Stephen?
Well, they, you know, right before the COVID, I had several revenue officers visit my office. That never happened before.
Whoa.
Not for me, but for one of my clients. So that had never happened before. And I was asking the revenue officer, wow, this is unusual. Why are you here? And they told me, well, the service is requiring us to make more field visits. They want them out of the office. And then in February of 2000, right before COVID, the IRS had a news release where they said, we're going to do many more unannounced visits. Now, why would they do unannounced visits? Because they're effective. Right? I can tell you that when the IRS visits somebody's house, that's when I get a call. Right, so that's pretty good for me because it scares people,
right?
And that's the purpose of it, right? They want to jar people into action. But the IRS, then in 2000, they stopped all visits because the IRS stopped everything. And of course, the revenue officers like that. Now, remember, the revenue officers are part of the National Treasury Employees Union, right? And so the union doesn't like that, and so the union has prevailed and said it's too dangerous. The revenue officers don't like it, and so they canceled it.
Yeah.
And so, and again, that's good. It's good for people not to have the IRS come into their house unannounced. I think that's good. The problem is they're going to send letters now, and they're going to say, we want to make an appointment. But many of my clients, they get lots of letters. They just don't open them. So if they don't open the letters, they'll never be able to set up an appointment to see the revenue officer. And in my mind, obviously, I would tell people, you shouldn't meet with a revenue officer without representation, my own opinion.
Yeah, no, and you're right about that, right? Like, I think that I get why they did it. And these were unarmed agency employees, by the way. So I think that a lot of people have this picture in their head of the agency beating down the door and putting a gun in your head until you pay your money. That's not what they do. They're unarmed. But that doesn't mean that the owners of the home that are, we're all a little jittery these days, are unarmed. Yeah. So I get it for the safety of the IRS employees, why unannounced visits are not the best thing to be doing, especially these days.
But again, John, they are effective,
right?
In the sense that they get people to move and start taking action on their problem. Because as we talk about many often on this show, like people who have IRS problems often put their head in the sand, right? And they're so frightened they don't know what to do, so they don't do anything. And sometimes that visit jars them to do something. More times than not, I would find that my clients would come with a card. The IRS had come to their house and left a business card, and that's enough to scare people to do something.
For sure. By the way, fightbacknow.com is where you can go for more information on Stephen A. Leahy.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you following in the tax world, Stephen? It's kind of the quiet part of the year for people, but hey, those quarterly payments keep coming up, and people need to make sure they're still on top of it. Even though it's August and taxes are probably the last thing on people's mind, should be on everyone's mind, especially if you're self-employed in any way. Get those quarterly payments in.
Absolutely. And right now is the time when you're going to start getting a lot of notices from the IRS. Right after tax time, they process the tax returns. And then it's July and August, they start collecting. So you'll start getting a lot of notices from the IRS. And again, here's my advice to people, open the mail, see what it is. And then, so you can take appropriate action. They all look the same. All those notices look the same, but they're not the same, right? There's different consequences for different notices. Again, even though they look very similar.
I actually had to call the IRS for the first time ever, Stephen, and it went okay. I had to amend my tax return. There was a 1099 that I had gotten, but I didn't open. And then I got it after a second one, like, hey, remember this. After I had already filed, so I amended it. It wasn't that hard. It was actually pretty easy. Sent it via the mail and the check. But about a month and a half later, I got a bill for that amount. And I was like, hold on. I've sent the check. The check is cashed. I called the IRS and they're like, hold on. Let me get your information. You know, it took like 45 minutes for this simple thing, but at least it got done. And the guy's like, oh, no, your balance is zero. And it just goes to show you The lag time in the mail is ridiculous. I had sent that thing 6 weeks beforehand, and I get the letter in the mail that much later, and they're like, oh, actually, it is worked out. I'm like, well, thank God I didn't double pay.
Let me touch on that, John, because that's what they call a CP2000. If you look in the right-hand top column of any notice, there's a code up there that tells you what the notice is. So if you don't know what it is, look at that code. You can even Google that code. It'll tell you what it is, what the grim. But that's what they call a CP2000, where it says, here's what you said on your tax return. Here's what we found. So they found a 1099 you didn't include. Mm-hmm. And then they make the adjustments for you, and then you're supposed to sign off on it, pay the tax, or you have the opportunity to object.
Right. Actually, I lucked out, Stephen. I didn't tell that. I didn't get it. That is a perfect explanation of a CP2000. I noticed that I hadn't paid on the 1099 first, and I filed an amended return before the deadline, before the April 15th deadline, and I said, oops, I forgot to include this, and it made it fairly easy to do. Interesting thing, though, is, and I wondered, and I have never heard of this before, I got a little refund from the state, and instead of getting a check in the mail, they credited my account on the Secretary of State's office for quarterly payments that I already made. So, in other words, instead of giving me a check, they basically said, well, your first quarterly payment, it came out of that. Like, they, instead of having to pay the amount I paid, I had to pay less. Have you heard of that before?
I have heard of that. It's fairly new. They just don't want to give
me. Right, they didn't want to give me the check.
If you're waiting for the state of Illinois to send you some money, you'd be waiting a long time. You're better off to get the credit.
I know. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I have to pay less this quarter. But I was a little bummed out because I was looking forward to that check in the mail.
Yes.
But I guess that's
But again, you're looking for that mail. You'll be looking a long time, John.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I've been hearing your commercials about tax attorney Stephen A. Leahy revealing about realtors experience true tax freedom. That's a lot of what you're talking about. What do you mean by true tax freedom for realtors?
Well, the true tax freedom is addressing your tax problem, right? And then making appropriate changes. For instance, taking all your deductions. Too many realtors are not structured correctly. You and I talk a lot about this, John, about setting up a company and taking the appropriate deductions and all of that. And too many realtors don't look at themselves as being in business, but as agents for somebody else, but they're really in business for themselves, and they should treat it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you and I have talked about the business side, and I've had to start up my own business this year, right? And it is a lot of work, I will say, on the front end, but once you kind of get things set up and going, it is a lot less stressful because I kind of feel, hey, I'm doing everything by the letter of the way it should be. I'm dotting my I's, crossing my T's. I guess we'll find out at tax time if I truly am, but I think I am.
You'll find, though, that you are you're a lot less scrutinized in the fact that if you take a lot of those deductions, like if I'm an independent contractor, if I'm working for myself and I put it all, and I don't want to get too technical, but Schedule C on my personal tax return, or then it's going to be highly scrutinized because that's where people cheat,
right?
So they don't know if you're cheating or if it's not cheating. So it's best to take it off of your personal tax return, all your business expenses, and put them on its own tax return. That way, it's less. You're less likely to get audited too.
Right, and I will say
you get a lot more deductions.
Right,
a lot more deductions available.
Right, and I will say to anyone that is self-employed or kind of doing a big side hustle that's grown, great, that's awesome. Look into an S corp or an LLC or something. Make sure you're covered that way. It takes a little bit of time, but I will also say there's benefits beyond taxes. Also, you can set up an IRA for yourself. It's called a self-employed SEP IRA, a SEP IRA that has huge benefits. You can put up to 25% of your income in a SEP IRA, which lowers your business costs, lowers your taxable income. I don't know, Stephen. I've become a little bit of a whiz. Maybe I'll take your job.
I will consult with you, John.
That's great. All right.
But you're absolutely right. There's a lot of benefits if you just take advantage of them. But you have to set it up correctly. They're not there. It's not there for everybody just willy-nilly. You have to really set it up correctly and then take advantage of what's out there.
For sure. Fightbacknow.com. Stephen A. Leahy, enjoy the wedding. Tell him congratulations. And have a good one. Thanks for joining us, okay?
Will do. I just wanted to mention I got the word willy-nilly in.
Okay, you did get, you. Yeah, well, it's, I think it's two words instead of one, but.
I'm not sure about that. I'll look it up.
I will. All right, Stephen. Have a good one. All right, we're going to take a break. We got news coming up, then more Let's Get Legal. Oh.